Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Surprising key to energy from Chuck Norris.
I believe in always being prepared for the unexpected. That could mean a natural disaster or even a threat to your loved one. But what if the unexpected danger wasn't something outside your door, but inside your own body? Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We're told these are normal signs of aging, but in my experience, it could mean something much worse. I call them the three internal enemies. And they are wrecking the health of millions of Americans right now. Most of them don't even know it. But the good news is, if you know what they are, there's a way to feel better. Not in years or months, but sometimes in just days. So you're healthy enough to take on anything the world may throw at you. And I'm living proof. That's me, Chuck Norris. You probably know me as one of the biggest action movie stars of the last 50 years. I also served in the United States Air Force. And I'm a world champion black.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my strength, my strength. It's cornerstone, the solid ground, above and ground.
Thank you. than 2 minutes and give a chance to just sound my trumpet for the next 2 minutes or so.
Hallelujah.
Awesome God, righteous God.
Lord, we bow and worship you. No guilt in life, no fear of death. Lord, because you have conquered death. Father, we pray tonight for your great spirit to come and take control. Father, you said wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. Many say they were coming, but they are not here. But you are here. And we recognize that you with us is the majority. We ask, oh God, that you would use your servant, this woman of God, this woman that has been washed, this woman that has been cleansed, oh God, renewed, oh God, and ordered, assigned by you. Use her lips, use her eyes and her ears, oh God, that as she see and hear, she would speak, God. Father, we thank you, oh God, for her tenacity. We thank you for her availability and willingness to come and break bread with us, Lord. We ask, Father God, tonight that you would look beyond all faults and see our needs tonight, God. We come, oh God, and we bow before you tonight in humbleness of spirit and with a repentant heart, oh God. We ask you to fill our hearts tonight, God. And Lord, we'll give you glory. And we'll give you honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.
Come on in, evangelist, and let the Lord use you. Come on in.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Hallelujah. Just want to say hello to everyone.
Yes, Lord.
Hello. We just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah. For he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's God all by himself. And we
are on this journey.
We are on this journey. We're helpers. We're helpers along the way. You know, when you're having an assignment and there's someone assigned over you, when you're truly, your heart is truly there, you have a desire to make sure that that person is pleased with what you do. So here we are in the assignment of our Heavenly Father. We want him to get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We want him to be pleased. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. And when you hear well done, you know that the Father is pleased. You know
Hallelujah,
that the Master
Jesus.
Is pleased with what you have done. Well done. See, it's simply saying, I am pleased. You
yes,
have
Lord.
Done well. I am pleased with what you are doing. I am pleased with your works. I am pleased with your going out. I'm pleased with your coming in. I am pleased.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So I tell them, my commitment first is to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes,
they
Lord.
Come at me and my God, the first thing I tell them, my first commitment is to the Lord. That's
yes.
number one. I can't do nothing in here without consulting him first. And the second commitment is to myself, because I honor him and I owe it to myself to be honorable in the eyesight of our Lord and Savior. And then next comes this company and my family. Because you entrusted me. You entrusted me. And you put your company, part of your company, in my care. So I have accountability. And that's what we must understand. When he says, well done, we have been accountable for what he has entrusted us with. He's pleased with our working and our being. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. We're working to hear him say, well done. We're not working to debate with him, as he said, Psalm would say, Lord, I went to the hospital to visit the sick. I went to the jailhouse. I went and fed the fatherless and the motherless. I went and seen them. He's going to say, where were you? When? And he ain't going to say, depart from me, I know you not. Why? Because your heart isn't in it. So when your heart is in what you're doing for Christ, when your heart is in anything, even in your home, thank you, God. You don't want your home disastrous. You don't want it tore up. You're not even worrying about other people, but you want it looking good for yourself. You want it to be pleasing in the eyesight of God. The landscaping, your home, the landscaping. Your car that you ride in, you want it looking good. It represents who we are. I may not have much, but what I have, it's going to be representable. I'm going to represent the kingdom with what we have. Because I know he will increase. And we're talking about one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's what we're talking
yes.
about today. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We got to have faith in what we do. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism over us all. Our Father, our Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. I come to our Father in the mighty name of Jesus to say thank you. Your word is holy, Lord. Your word is true, and it shall not return void. Thank you, Father. Allow someone to hear the word, that it may prick their heart and bless them, that they may be delivered and set free. Their minds, some are captive in their minds, Lord. They're not behind bars, but they are in captivity in their minds and in their hearts and in their bodies. I'm asking you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that they be released and made free. He whom the Son has freed is free indeed. And for that, Father, we say thank you for freedom. It came at a cost for you, but you did it so that we could be free. And Lord, we want to say thank you right now. Freedom is what we are claiming, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for our life, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the glory. We give you the honor and the praise. Father, we thank you for salvation in your son Jesus' name, who came, he died, and he lived again, that we might live. And for that, Lord, we have a great assurance, the great assurance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for that, we say thank you, Father, in your son Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. The word of the Lord for us today is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Walk in the light, beautiful light, somewhere do bright, our mercy shine bright. Shine on around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus, the light of the world. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. If you'll go with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Thank God for the reading of his holy word. The fourth chapter in Ephesians, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according in the measure of the gift of Christ. Right there, from verse 4 through 6, the word one was mentioned 7 times. One Lord. There's only one God. One faith. There's only one faith that we can have. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? The songwriter said, where is your faith? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Where is your faith? Is your faith in God? Is your faith in material things? Is your faith in man? Where is your faith? One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The word one, as I said, appears 7 times. Oneness and unity are important things in Ephesians, and it's in Paul's writing. Paul's, you know, of Paul's writing, Paul writes a lot about oneness. He writes a lot about unity. No, after being changed, after being converted, many of us, I can speak for myself, but I'm going to go out and say many of us, after being converted and changed, our hearts and our minds were renewed. You know, we no longer thought in a singular with a singular mind, with a singular thought. We our thoughts became more to include others. You know, I'm not just going to pray for myself, but I'm going to pray for somebody else. This is showing maturity and growth. This is showing unity. This is showing oneness. So, but I know for me, after being changed, after being converted, you know, we have a habit of saying me, 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 my, but it's our. Even the prayer starts out with our Father in Matthew 6:9, our Father. It doesn't say my Father, but our Father, because he's Lord of us all. If you'll go with me to Romans 12. Should have made the page. The first chapter, Romans. I'm going on down to verses 1-5. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what I was saying, because, you know, in Paul's teaching, Paul was always teaching, when he was teaching about unity, he prayed for unity, even in the church. So Paul is letting us know there's only one Lord, huh, that we're serving. There's only one faith. He's telling them here, he said, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We have many members in one body, the body of Christ. Let's take it physically. We have one human body. Our eyes are for us to see. Our ears are to hear. Our arms and our hands are to hold, to feel, to touch. Our legs are to walk, to strengthen. Our mouth to speak, to eat. Our teeth to chew. Everything has its own function. So Paul, in the body of Christ, the deacon serves in a position. The pastor, the deacons. The deaconess, the lay members, all these things that have been added, but they still come together as one. How can two walk together except they agree? You cannot. So Paul was saying, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all have something to do. We all have an assignment. The apostles have an assignment. You see, I call them my big brother, my dad, and my big brothers. The pastors have an assignment. The evangelists have an assignment. The preachers, the teachers have an assignment. Everyone has an assignment in their own prospective place, respectfully. And when we do this and we come together and collaborate as one, we stand strong. We stand in unity because that we cannot break. We cannot break the bond when we are strong, when we are one. See, that That was a show, thank you, God. That was a show they used to call The Weakest Link. And The Weakest Link simply meant that it wasn't strong enough to bond with the others. That it didn't get it right, so it had to go. But Paul is teaching us that when we come together as one, when we know who we are, when we have one mind in Christ, when we have the oneness of Jesus Christ, when we have that oneness in our hearts, when we have that oneness in our mind, we will perform as one. We won't go out on the limb, putting each other down, talking behind each other's back, saying things to hurt people. But what we will do, we will go to them as he has instructed us in his word. Let us go to our brothers and sisters. If you find them in a fault, go to them. If they offend you, go to them. And this is what Paul is teaching us. Why? Because this only makes us stronger. It makes us a united force that is hard to be reckoned with. Why? Because we're under that covering of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're under that covering of our Father, which is in heaven. We're under that covering of the Holy Spirit, that oneness. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift, that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, verse 10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are countenance, that are contentions among you. When the naysayers come, we have to stand. When they come to speak against our line, that you know that what the works that God is doing, the kingdoms that we are building in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when they come up against you, when the adversary comes, we stand. I should be able to call either one of my brothers and sisters here at God's Resurrection Power Church in Christ. I should be able to call either one of my brothers and sisters to stand with me, in agreement with me, not with foolishness, not bring harm to anyone, but to hold together what God is doing for us, through us. Oh, God got it. But when we stand together as a united front, because he said, well, two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst. And he also said, whatsoever we ask in his name, Jesus, he will do it. He didn't hesitate about it. He said he will do it. Second Corinthians 13, chapter of Second Corinthians. Chapter 2 Corinthians, verse 10. Therefore, I write these things being absent, Lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord has given me to the edification and not to destruction. Oh, my God, thank you, Lord. You see, not to bring destruction or harm to anyone, but by what he has endowed us with, his Holy Spirit, to empower us. He said, greater works shall we do. So we have been empowered to do great works. And then he said, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be a one man, huh? Be one man, that one man that you have that full mind of Jesus Christ. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. He said, live in peace, and the God of love shall be with you. The one body is in reference to the body of Christ in Ephesians 2 and 6. So that's what we're speaking of, to the one body of Christ. The one spirit is in reference to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians. And the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Speaking about the spiritual gifts and being diverse. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Huh? You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, huh? Even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by what? The Holy Ghost. Only by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. He said, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And this is what he's telling us. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit to another faith, by the same Spirit to another gift of healings, by the same Spirit to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. But all these work it, that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not the one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is thereof not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the arm, I am not the body, it is therefore not of that body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Bringing us back to unity, one law, one faith, and one baptism. One Lord. You see, Jesus is a Lord within himself, all by himself. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ, for perpetuation of our sin. And Jesus sent us back a gift of the Holy Ghost. So here it is in Acts. If you go with me to Acts, book of Acts, the second chapter. Hallelujah. Acts, the second chapter. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to go on down here. Hallelujah. I'm going to start reading at verse 30. No, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said unto himself, he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus, God made the same Jesus whom he have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ, one. The same Jesus. So we must understand the differences and know when we talk about Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when we talk about Lord God, we say Yahweh and Elohim. Yahweh. The soul writer say, you are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. And Omega, the beginning and the end. You are Yahweh. In the book of Psalms, if you go with me to Psalms 110th number of Psalms.
You are Yahweh.
Psalms 110 reads, "Is the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand." This is David talking. "Until I make thy enemies thy footstool." We just read that in Acts. "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness." Whoa, wait a minute. Here we are in the Old Testament, and then David is talking about the beauty and the powers of holiness. Holiness is what we need. Holiness, hallelujah. Because we are sustained. And that's why the Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. That we could be preserved. Jesus came that we might have the right to the tree of life. But he sent us a gift back. It was a gift He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. But the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when David is saying, the people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall fight for the kings in the day of death. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up his head. Watchful, be mindful. Because God is the judge. And he will bring destruction. So God is letting the rulers be warned that he is God. They are warned. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Acts 5:31. Acts 5:31 tells us, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Christ our Lord and Savior, for remission of our sin. Revelations 1. So we're into the book of Revelation, all the way to the back, to the last book, or the first book, if you have only the New Testament, the book of Revelation, first chapter. He tells us the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which most shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of all the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that read it and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. So the time is at hand. The time is at hand. We got to walk in the place of obedience, because it says the time is at hand. And we know that we're living in these times now. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To the one Lord Jesus Christ that came, that shed his blood. So we're talking about the one faith, one Lord. Now, talking about one faith. Faith. So how are we living? By faith? Are we walking by faith? There are some times that, in our lives, that it seems like we just can't see our way out. But if we can put aside ourselves and have faith in God. 1 Peter, if you go with me there, 1 Peter. The fourth chapter, 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. Begin reading at the fifth verse. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That charity, that brotherly love, it shall cover a multitude of sins. You know, when you love somebody, you want to do everything here in this earth. When you love somebody, you want to do everything you can to protect them if you can. This is the same way our Heavenly Father did for us. He did everything that he could to protect us. You know, when you go all the way back and you look at the children of Israel, when they were down in Egypt and when they was being so disobedient, amen, they just kept going back. They kept reverting back to sin, amen. But one of the things about it, God in his sovereignty, he just keep on keeping on, trying to give them opportunity after opportunity, even after he's sending his even after sending Moses down there. Moses didn't even want to go. Moses tried to sell God the story about his tongue not ready. Oh, God said, that's okay, bro. I got somebody for you. I got Aaron for you. Don't worry about it. You just go down there. You speak and you say what I say. And when they say, who sent you? You say, I am. It is I am that has sent thee. But don't worry about it because Aaron got you. Aaron's going to interpret what you say. Love covers a multitude. And that's what this word of God is telling us now. And we have to have faith because you know why? That love of Jesus Christ will carry us in some places and bring us out on the other side of through. Because we don't want to go through sometime because we already know what lies ahead. We're looking at it in the natural. But God says, I got a testimony that's going to come from you. You got a testimony. It's my testimony so that I would get the glory. It's not yours. It's my. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to take you to some places that no man said you could go or people would think that you would ever be able to go. I'm going to set you up. I am going to prepare that table in the presence of your. You're going to sit down and you're going to eat meat from that table because I'm going to do it. But you got to have faith in me. You got to trust me. Don't have faith in what you don't see. Have faith in me. And so that's where we're here at 1 Peter 4. So verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. But ye be therefore sober. Huh? He said, be sober. And watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Yeah, sometimes you get on my nerves. Yeah. I'm not going to say that sometimes you don't get on my nerves, but sometimes you do get on my nerves. Sometimes you just make me rude. But you know what? What I do is going to be out of love. I'm going to do it out of love. We are human. And for you to say that, no, that people don't get on your nerves, and sometimes you have to rebuke your own thoughts and rebuke your own mind. Father, forgive me. Repent. But whatever you do, do it out of love. Because it was love, the reason that we're here today. Love is the reason we're here. So he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Then he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth that. And God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ to whom he prays, and dominion forever and ever. Look right here. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. That means when you stand up to speak, speak the word. Speak the truth. You don't have to think about what it is. Just open your mouth and the Holy Spirit will begin to minister through you. There are many times that I have written down sermons. I've written down messages. I've written down so many scriptures. But you know what? By the time the Holy Spirit is done, you may not even minister to over half of that stuff that you have now. But it's good for you because you have studied and you have obtained the knowledge. Have you ever noticed that even after God has closed the sermon, even after he has closed the book, and you sit down, the Holy Spirit still ministers that word to you. There's still an outpouring of that word. But we have gotten so that we're in that place that we want to stick in the time frame because we don't want people to get bored. We don't want people to start walking out. We don't want people to start hanging up. But this is what he said. If you're going to speak, speak in as an oracle of God. If they must go, then they must go, but you speak. And if you're going to be ministering, do it to the glory of God, so that he may get the glory of everything that you do. Titus, the book of Titus. You go with me, bro. Titus here. Amen. Go with me, Titus. I'm going to Titus number one. And let us see what the book of Titus is telling us about the way we should handle this. Amen. Let me get there myself. Titus 1. Amen. Make sure I'm in the right place, y'all. If I don't have my glasses on and don't want to confuse the words. Is anybody any conflict of interest here? All right. Oh. Look at all my pages folded away.
What's that, Miss Sexy?
Nothing. I'm just going to take a melatonin.
All right, I'm going to come to a close here with this last one in the book of Titus. Amen. Oh, just a minute, my page went out. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth which is of after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanted and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, faithful to thee, and accused of wine or unruly.
For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-will, not soon angry, not given to physical lucre, but lover of hospitality, a lover of goodness, sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So that's where we are.
There's no snoring that fit. I had to keep the dugout bed.
He was rolling the dugout bed. You know I'm talking about him. I had to kick the dugout bed.
Let me make sure my phone is off. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Evangelist. I didn't know my phone was on off you. Sorry, I apologize. Come on.
So now we're going to speak about the baptism, and I'm closing. The Word of God says, I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Matthew 3:11. John baptized in water. But Jesus did not baptize in water. Instead, he baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus referred to the baptism with the Holy Spirit when he told his apostles to wait in the city of Jerusalem for power from on high. But John truly baptized with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now in Acts 1. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us remember one God and one Father. In the 39 books that are listed in the Old Testament, there's not one word about three gods. But here we have it. But Paul is in the greatest teachings of Paul. He is teaching us about unity and the unity of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We must stand. If we're going to stand, we must stand together as one. Because there is none like God, none like him. Our Father, our Lord, and Savior Jesus Christ, we say thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to bless us now, God, as we go out to and fro to carry your word, to teach your doctrine, to teach your truths. And we give you thanks, Lord. We say thank you, and your word shall not return void. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Apostle.
Anna, my apologies. I was talking to my wife about the daughter. I thought my phone was still on mute because I was taking a lot of notes. But I want to thank Father. I thank you and praise you, O God, for your servant, for this word. Oh, my Lord, it was such a blessed word. I took a lot of notes on it, and it was just so beautiful. I ask, God, that you bless her. Lord, it's just her and I tonight, like back in 2010 and 11. When it was just she and I at some Sunday nights. Lord, we just bless you, God, but we know you're in the mix because this word is going to go forth. Mm-hmm. So many people have tagged us from last night, from the word that she released last night. Lord, we know they're going to tag again for this one. Lord, we just ask you to bless her. Bless everything that she does, everything that she touches, Lord God. And Lord, continue to fill her. Even on Saturday, when she bring the word on Saturday, it will be so powerful. A lot of people will come on Saturday morning, afternoon. We just pray, God, that you continue to bless her and keep her safe and secure. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You know, when you start being Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, I was looking at, and you talked about what you said here, it was, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation with wherewith you are called. And I looked at that, and the word jumped off me is vocation. The word that jumped off that page there is vocation. And when you think about vocation, you think about relaxing. But vocation in the Lord is not a relaxing. It's active. It's being active in the Lord. You know, mm-hmm. It's being active. So he says, actively working for the Lord. It is a time that we must be separated from the world system. The way of the world is usually doing things that is contrary to God's way. And when we are separated from the world system, we do what the Lord requires according to his will. This is the vocation of the Lord. It says, in our vocation, we must present ourselves, when you read from chapter 12 of Romans, we must present ourselves in a way that is acceptable to God. We cannot serve any other God but him. And we must have faith and be baptized into him. See, this baptism is into God, into him. So we become part of him in baptism. This is why baptism is so important, because it unites us with him. It tells him and it tells the world that we no longer belong to ourselves. We are dying to the world in baptism. Our faith is in him, one Lord, not in stuff, not in cars, not in homes. And then says, and if we have the same Lord, I wrote this when you was talking, I said, if we have the same God as our Father, and our faith is in him, mm-hmm. and if we are baptized in his name,
mm-hmm.
it will be difficult to separate us from each other and from him. Because a lot of people are saying that they're in him, but they don't know him. They don't have a true relationship with him. Some people can preach with tenacity. They're tenacious, but they're not in him. They don't have a relationship with him. You know, when Paul was arresting the Christians and putting them in church and in jail, and even some people was put to death, he thought he was working for the Lord. He thought he was working for God. Until he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
And a personal encounter.
You know, he thought he was working for God. And when he had that personal encounter with God, this is what he says. He called him Lord. With an uppercase L, which means he had an understanding that it was God, the sovereign Lord that was talking to him. When you get that encounter, something happened inside you that makes you different. You now become one with God and one with man.
That's right.
And this is the problem that we have today, why we don't have this oneness in the church. People speak oneness, evangelists. Many believers speak oneness, but they're not one with each other, and they're not one with God. Can God tell us that before we can love him, we got to learn how to love each other? We got to learn how to love each other. He says in the book of Matthew, how can you say you love me and you don't love your, you never see me? You say you love me. How you testify, you hit your chest and stamp your feet, how much you love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And we even sing the song. We're playing the music of how we love Jesus. But the one sitting in the pew next to you every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, you can't love. You can't stand him. Jesus called him a liar. This thing is so powerful. See, when you develop and understand the vocation, unlike when you started, that was so powerful when you started. When you understand the vocation that you're called for and understand the vocation is not going on a safari or going over down to Hawaii and drinking coconut water sitting under the palm tree, you'll understand that you're called to walk, to work. This is what the vocation you talked about is all about. It's a powerful message you teach here tonight. It was strong, strong teaching. I wish the whole world was here to hear this word tonight. But I'm going to send it out all over the world. Because when we understand, a lot of people don't understand this word. They don't understand it. And I thought about that. I said, man, vacation. I always listen to that word. When you say, I'm going on a vacation, cause I'm going down to the Caribbean. I'm getting ready to travel to Barbados. Spent some time with my sister. Of course, she's getting real old, and she now have a nurse coming in to take care of her. I'm going to spend some time with her soon, very soon. You know, we're going to relax. But when you call on a vacation for the Lord, I mean, you got to look at it, evangelist. You are called to work. People, that's why a lot of people, when they get into it, they go sit down. All they want them to be fed. I can't wait till next Sunday and see what pastor going to preach next Sunday. I can't wait till next Monday night or Wednesday night, what the Bible study going to be all about. No, God called you to teach. You got to get ready. You got to get ready and take what the pastor says. He said, Pastor, when you're ready, put me up. I'm ready. You got to be always ready. You're called to sit down. You're called. You're on a vacation to work. That's what I said. And he said, he said, you would not be. It would be difficult for us to separate from each other and from God. Because why? As you were talking about one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's your message. It's hard when we understand that we have this thing that comes from God, that we all have the same thing. You talked about the eye, you talked about the foot, and talk about the members of the body. None can do what they want to do without the other one. We all have to work together. We got to work together. This is what how the body is formulated. It has to work together. If one part is off out of sync, the body begins to wobble. You see a person got one toe missing on their foot, any foot, could be the right foot or left foot, you can tell something is missing. You can tell something is missing.
The way they walk.
If a person loses an ankle, they still got the leg sticking down, but the ankle from the ankle is gone. You can tell something is missing, out of balance, because something is missing from the body. It's the same way with Christ. When someone is not in the faith, I like what you put that in there. When somebody don't have the faith as a believer to truly follow Jesus Christ, you can tell. There's a different pull inside the service. You can tell that there's a spirit in the service that's contaminating the flow of the spirit. Oh, my God,
that's
I tell you.
That's right.
You went there, you said, and Jesus said, I wrote this to when you were saying this, when you said, because we will be rooted and grounded in the truth. See, when you are in the having one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and you understand that you have been changed, or you're being changed, because we're changing from faith to faith and from glory to glory, what happened is you become rooted. Oh God, rooted and grounded in the truth, because we are changing. Every day we are changing. I'm not the same man I was last night.
That's right.
Because what I got last night was different to what I'm getting tonight. It take me to another dimension. I was happy. I slept well last night. Tonight I sleep much better because I have a different word that I'm meditating on. I took notes. I got a paper in my hand. Okay, I took notes. You see, and I wrote, in Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's in Colossians chapter 2 and 9. And see, when we understand that what is in the Godhead, the power, the authority, the anointing, is in the Godhead. And all is in God, in Jesus Christ. He is the Father, he is the Son, he is the Holy Ghost. And he has all the power that resonates in the Son, resonates in the Father, resonates in the Holy Spirit. It's all in Jesus. Because he is all. Hallelujah. I like this one that you put there. Like I wrote this down, and you don't forget it all right. But this is what I heard when he was talking about. Sometimes people get on our nerves. That makes us get upset. Man, I tell you, that was hitting me right there. Evangelist, that was hitting me right where I needed to be hit. I'm telling you, I said, oh, thank you, Lord. So sometimes people get on our nerves, and it's true. Don't mind because you're preaching and you're teaching and singing. People do. Because that's part of us. That's the flesh part of us, the human kind of us. People get on our nerves and makes us get upset. And we have to ask God to forgive us.
That's right.
And sometimes we got to go to them, if we can go to them, and ask for forgiveness.
That's right.
This is where the togetherness, this is where these three forces come together. One God, one faith, and one baptism. This is how they come together, because you acknowledge where we are coming up short.
That's right.
Spiritually. We acknowledge that. And we can go to the person and say, well, I'm sorry. Or we could say, like, forgive me, you know, I got angry at you and so and so and so and so and so and so and so. You know? Glory to God. So I just thank you for that. You just blessed me. And there's so much more. I'm gonna play this back tonight and listen to it because I missed two scriptures I think I missed. But I got most of them. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I know there's two more scriptures, at least two or three more scriptures. I get them when I listen tonight. I go back and listen. Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God. Apostle Short just got on. He just got on. He got on. You know that we're closing up, so he dropped back off. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us tonight. What a blessed word, Lord. Lord, you have blessed her to really research these scriptures so that she could, oh God, parlay the scriptures so that she could teach us sound doctrine. And say sound doctrine makes sound people. Lord, we ask you, oh God, that even as we leave this line but never your presence, oh God, we ask you to feed her and keep her through the rest of the week on this Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon when she comes to break bread for us again. Lord, we just ask, God, that even tonight as I study tonight to teach tomorrow morning, Lord, that you give me this word, wake up this word in my spirit, oh God. Already have the scripture, but wake it up in my spirit, Lord, that I see what you want me to see, that I'll hear what you want and how you want me to preach it, Lord. And Father, we are so careful, God, even as we leave this line tonight, Lord God. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, would rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak into somebody's ear yet that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. Jesus knew that we all have some bad works that are laying dormant. That's why he said, let your works so shine that men will see your good works. Don't let the bad works come up. Let them stay dormant. Let them stay covered up in that grave, buried. Don't dig them back because somebody acted fool. Like the evangelists were saying, and somebody agitates you, just go and take a deep breath. Go in the bathroom and take a deep breath before you act a fool. And just exhale real slow. While you exhale slow, you'll hear the Holy Spirit saying it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I do that many times. I have to walk out the building when somebody's acting a fool, and I go and take a deep breath. And I come back and say, you all right? I say, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Because I took the deep breath. And I took my time exhaling very slow. And then the Holy Spirit said, you don't have to move. You don't have to react because that person talked that way. You don't have to react that way. Glory to God. I just thank God for you, evangelist, and thank God for you coming on and blessing us tonight. And we're going to get out of here. And we hope to see you. I'll be here tomorrow morning preaching and teaching. And then you come back inside there. We think
yes, sir.
Evangelist, Prophet Sherwood coming on Friday. The Lord say the same. And I'm going to bring back Shepherdess Holmes. I'm going to bring back Shepherdess Holmes to come and minister for us in the week, sometimes in the week too. You know, the Lord has a plan, way how to do things. Nobody going to stop us from going. We can constantly be able to bring forth the word. You understand?
Amen.
You know, in 2010, remember 2010, 2011, they thought they could wreck us too, you know. They thought they could wreck us in 2010, 2011. And we still kept going. What it is? This is 2023. They thought they could wreck us. And God kept us afloat. We were still flowing. Still flowing. Everything.
Yeah.
You and I on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Saturday, and coming on different nights, different days. And we were still doing what the Lord said. We still here. And God still blessing. God still blessing. God still keeping us healthy and wealthy. I'm telling you now my heart, I can't wait to see my doctor now. I'm just looking to see the cardiologist because my heart is working so good. I'm telling you, darling, I know because my breathing changed. I'm not getting any kind of chest pains at all. No kind of chest pains at all I'm not getting. I said, Lord, I just thank you. I just went on some new herbs, and I tell you, like, it just cleaned the artery completely out because no more chest pains. I said, Lord, I just thank you. God is just so good. Yeah, you remain faithful, daughter. Remain faithful and available to God, and God will show you what no man can show you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. When he said he will open doors that no one can close and close doors that no one can open, you've got to trust him. You just got to have patience with him, because what God promised you he can do for you, guess what? He can do it. Not on your time, on my time, or your daughter's time, or your son's time. He's going to do it on his time. And guess what? You're going to rejoice. You're going to rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. For what God promised. Believe what I'm telling you. Because I'm a strong believer. I'm a strong believer that what God said he's going to do, he does. He don't lie. Amen. You know, he promised Abraham, you're going to be father of many nations. You see, even unto your seed. Your seed sees. It's going on. You can see it happening. He never lied. Told Abraham that. He said, well, and then told Abraham, look, your Sarah will have a son at this time next year. You will have a son. And Sarah laughed. And she tried to cover up that she didn't laugh, but God said, oh, yeah, you laugh. I heard you laugh. But I'm going to show you what I promised. It'll come to pass. And the same thing happened the next year. She was pregnant with Isaac, because God promised that. God don't make, you don't make no phony talk when he say he mean. God promised me some things. I know they're coming. I know they're coming. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I just know that you're going to do these things. You know how many people I want to bless, how many people I want to take care of. And I said, God said, look, just sit and watch me work out this stuff for you, Lord. So he said, I'm going to bless you so you can bless people. You can bless people. I love Blog Talk Family because, my God, we got some people here that when they're operating with us, when they operate with us, we make people praise God. You know, because they're on the verge of they're suffering, you know. And when God's opening for us to bless them, Blog Talk Family to bless them, you know, they praise God. They start praising God because they were saying, well, look, we don't have to go eat leaves. I send a whole family. I don't like to say because when we send, I don't care who send the money or if I do it, but when I do something, I say, we did. Blog Talk Family, we just bless the family, big family. And the kids was going to go to school without food. Breakfast and anything we get them. They had to put, and they told me, they said, we bought food for a whole month. They said, we bought food for a whole month. They said, we just want to thank God. We just want to praise God. And I said, Lord, I thank you. I said, Lord, I thank you. Do you know that's something that you can pray for? It's not a new car. You don't buy no house. But you call some people. You have family that don't, the kids are not. They don't be looking at their mama or daddy and saying, mama, what are we going to eat today? We don't have no flour. We don't have no sugar. We can't make pancakes. We can't make we call them big fries in our country. But here you call them pancakes. See, we can't even make pancakes. We ain't got no flour. We ain't got no sugar. We ain't got no syrup. But they say, they sent me a message. He said, Apostle, we bought food that lasts a month. Could last a month. I said, God, could God be the glory. You see, when you ask God to bless you, to bless somebody, God going to bless you. God going to bless you. But if you're just looking so you want to go down to the dealership and buy a new car when you got a car that's running well, you know what I'm saying? Because you want to keep up with the Joneses, you ain't going to get it. You know how they call me every day and send me emails because my car's paid off, my wife's car's paid off, and they want me to come and bring my Cadillac to get a new Cadillac and go in debt? When I got a car that don't give me no trouble at all, you know? They might give me $50,000 for that car. But then the car that I would get would over $100,000. Did that look that sounds like sense to you? In a time that everything is going topsy-turvy in this country, you go put yourself in over almost $70,000 in debt when you owe nobody a penny. You know what I'm saying? My car got 74,000 miles on it in the street. If you drive that car, like if it just come off the showroom floor, only thing it don't have the smell inside of it anymore. That's God's vehicle, and God keeps it the way he's supposed to keep. So we're thanking God for you, Angus. I gotta go. My baby says she's coming in soon, and we'll talk to you soon. Get your message ready for Saturday afternoon, and keep Minister on there in prayer. Keep her in prayer, and keep her pray for her husband too. Okay, pray for her husband. Pray for him. for he is, you know, he is getting a little nervous and excited and frustrated and everything in war. And I had to encourage her the other day. We had a long talk on the phone. I tell her, just trust God. God don't make mistakes. He don't make mistakes. He knows everything that's happening. We want everything like yesterday because we, all of us, including myself, I said, look, girl, you're not different to me. I said, we all have a microwave mindset. We want everything done right now. You know, and I don't see, I ain't seen nothing wrong with that. You're married to him. You want your husband with you. But God knows, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. You know, if I married to Nancy and she was in Hawaii, I want to get over here. Man, I'm calling the airlines. I'm calling everything. I want to know why my wife is not here. But God knows exactly what he's doing. You know, God knows what he's doing. You have to trust him. He don't make mistakes. He don't. He's not a failure. Got to trust him.
That's right.
Got to trust him. Because when it works out, you're going to say, man, look at what God did. Can you see what God did? Oh, my Lord Jesus. Can you see what he did? That's how he works. So you have to be patient. You have to be patient. One woman was trying to get with this man because she wanted a husband. And the man beat her, broke a tooth, and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
And she stayed away from him for a little bit. And they were separated for a while, you know. They ain't got married or anything. The relationship between them. And now he come back now trying to get with her. We tried to give her some information here on Blog Talk, and she got mad with us. I know what I'm doing. Nobody needs to give me, tell me what to do. So I said, you know what? I'm going to tell the sister nothing. You know, come on, Blog Talk now. I'm going to tell the sister nothing. Because God sure you let you see what kind of man he is before you get involved and take his ring and give him your ring, you know?
That's right.
Follow what God is saying. God don't make mistakes as you wait on him. First thing, you're trying to run the man down. Don't run the man down. He's supposed to run you down. You know, so we tried to tell the sister something. She got mad with us. So I just pulled back. Wait on the Lord, daughter. Wait on him. God going to do you justice. You're going to praise him even more than you praise him now. Because I tell you the idea, what he got for you, no man can give you. He got a king for you. And you just got to stand still. Let the king find you. And praise God all the time while you're waiting. You tell the Lord, Lord, I'm waiting for your best. I know you're going to give your best. You say, I'm waiting for your best. I ain't going to take no less, Lord. I don't want no less. I know you're going to give me your best because that's the God I serve. And watch God work. You know, watch the God I serve. I'm working for this millionaire guy. He's a black guy. And he's on his second marriage now, you know. And I was talking to him the other day. He said to me, he said, no, I had a couple of children from my first marriage, and she was a good woman, but I didn't know what I had. Now, he's looking at this wife that he got now. He's from a different country. He's American black. He got a lot of property. Two houses over $2 million. He got three big houses. He's got property. And he hooked up with me. We hooked up in all this. Or a lot of stuff going on, modeling stuff and changing this and changing that, you know. And he glad that we meet. So I told him, I said, you know, I've been married to the same woman for over 43 years. He asked me, how do you do it? I said, God.
Nobody
I told him, I said, God. I said, God, because there's no way I could do it, the lifestyle that I was living. But God.
Mm.
But see, God bring me into a place now in him that I truly can appreciate the jewel that he gave to me.
That's
even
right.
When I didn't really know because my mind was so wild. But God had her, gave her a stable mind because she had to keep his servant, his child in peace till I get to the place where he can use me.
What you say?
And that woman kept me. You hear what I'm telling you? If not for her, and God working through her. In the midst of all the stuff that I went through, the hell that I've been through, and that woman stick with me, God said, told her, don't leave him. That's your husband. And people told her, leave him. Let that Negro go by himself. Let him go. He said, no, that's my husband. And my family don't walk away from they don't walk away from the maid. All her family. She has family. She had aunties that married for 75 years.
Ooh.
75. Okay. You hear what I'm telling you? Her mother and father married close to that. Was married close to that. They don't break the vow. And God kept me with her. Kept me with my wife. So I tell you, just gotta wait. Just wait. Don't matter anything that happened before. That's water on the bridge. Wait now, because God don't have you floating over the bridge. You're walking on the bridge. You're not under the bridge any longer. You're up top of the bridge. God says you wait. And trust him and give him praise while you're waiting, you'll see the hand of God move for everything that you expected, and it will come to pass. God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming on. Apostle Stuart, I'll be on tomorrow. I'm going to bring the word tomorrow. I'm going to be teaching about don't be deceived by the deception of the world. That's what I'm going to be teaching about. Mm-hmm. Don't be deceived by the deception of the world. And there's a lot of deception going on right now. But the Lord has been a teachable. That's coming out of 1 John. He's going to come out of 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2. The epistles of John. That's where we're going to come from tomorrow. The Lord say the same. Unless he changes tonight. But I believe that's where he wants me to go. I love you guys so much. Have a blessed night.
You too, tonight.
If the Lord say the same. Be safe, daughter. Be safe, Apostle. God bless you all. Good night.
Well, Apostle Stuart.
God bless you. I missed the message, but...